7:04 on Tuesday, October 20th. We'll call the Historic Review Board meeting to order. We can do a quick roll call.
All right. Board Member Higby. Board Member Sherland. Board Member Lewis.
Here.
Board Member McLaughlin. Board Member Mattis.
Yes.
Board Member Manning.
Here.
And Chair Peterson.
Here. So, first order of business is approval of minutes from June 15th, 2015.
So moved as presented.
I second.
All right, call for a vote. Mr. Mattis?
Yes.
Ms. Lewis?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes.
Chair Peterson? Aye.
All right.
Sorry, Darren. Sorry. Doing your job for you.
Yeah.
We're just going to move through that quickly.
Good.
I'm glad it's approved. All right. To the
voice vote.
To the real business before us. Ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're holding a continuation of public hearing regarding application DR 15-05 for Type 2 Historic Design Review. This is a quasi-judicial decision, unlike a legislative hearing, where a personal opinion may come into play. Quasi-judicial rulings must be grounded in the relevant code, and if the application meets the code, the board must approve it. The hearing will proceed as follows. After preliminary legal matters, staff will make a presentation, followed by the applicant, then members of the audience. Finally, there will be time for rebuttal by the applicant. If you'd like to speak regarding an agenda item, please sign in. You must fill out a separate form for each agenda item. When you are called to testify, you'll have up to 3 minutes to speak. The applicant will have 20 minutes plus 10 minutes for rebuttal. The board members may ask questions of the applicant, staff, or anyone else who testifies. I now call to order the public hearing. I will ask the city attorney to cover the preliminary legal matters.
Thank you, Chair Peterson. So the applicant has the burden of proving that the application is consistent with the City of Westland's Community Development Code, Comprehensive Plan, and any applicable municipal code provision. The criteria that must be addressed in this hearing are Chapter 13 of the CDC, Chapter 25, and Chapter 99. Any testimony, argument, or evidence that is given this evening must be directed at these criteria or some other criteria that the speaker believes are relevant to the decision. If testimony would be repetitious, but you'd like an opportunity to appeal the decision, you must sign the sign-in testimony form. Only those who appeared in person or in writing before the Historic Review Board this evening or at the previous hearing will have the opportunity to appeal this decision to the City Council. Failure to raise an issue accompanied by statements or evidence sufficient to allow the Commission and the parties an opportunity to respond to the issue precludes appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals based on that issue. Do any members of the Historic Review Board wish to declare an actual or potential conflict of interest? Seeing none, does any member of the Historic Review Board wish to report any site visits or ex parte contacts? Seeing none, are there any challenges to the jurisdiction of the Planning Commission or any of the disclosures that were made this evening?
No.
Okay. Seeing none, I think we are ready to move on.
Beautiful. Let's proceed with the staff presentation.
Okay. So, good evening. Darren Wise, Associate Planner, City of West Lynn. So, we're here to continue the public hearing for the design review on the property at 1724 4th Street Avenue.
Avenue.
Always get that wrong. Let's see. So, the proposal was for removal of an addition on the front of the home. Replace it with an original turret that's original to the front elevation. Also, add another rear addition. There's already a rear addition that's been added to the back of the home. And the original proposal was to take a non-contributing carport and transform that into a two-story garage. And now, after the previous hearing, the applicants have come back and provided both drawings for a one-story and a two-story garage. So this is going to be a unique decision, and I can allow the assistant city attorney to weigh in later, but if the Historic Review Board finds both garage options to meet the applicable criteria, then we would recommend that you approve the application with one garage and then condition it that they can go through a minor amendment and have the other garage. So you're essentially approving both, but only approving one design of the site. And if they chose to go with the other option, then it would just be a quick, well, I don't know if it's quick, but a staff reviewing it. They wouldn't have to come back before you.
It would require the board to make findings, finding that both garage option one and garage option two meet all of the criteria.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying. Okay. So at the last hearing that was continued, the Historic Review Board asked for a number of additional materials from the applicants, and they have provided those, and they're in your packet. This includes some plan views, some elevations and floor plans of the proposed improvements, some material samples, outdoor lighting samples, and so forth. It's in the Willamette Historic District overlay. And it's also in the Willamette Historic District National Register overlay. It's eligible contributing historic home, built circa 1905, Queen Anne style. 7,500 square foot lot. Both applicants are here with us tonight. Zoned R5, which is a medium density residential. Application was submitted and deemed complete on June 8th. And all notice requirements have been met, and those are part of the original packet that was provided for the September meeting. There was one previous approval on the property, and that was earlier in 2015 for a reduced window size in the kitchen. Here's on the left is the front elevation, and that's the addition that was built to replace the turret that they're proposing to remove. And the rear elevation on the right, you can see the addition on the right side, and they're proposing to add an addition to the left side of the structure. The non-contributing carport, as you can see it from the street, and then also from the rear alley, and that's the neighbor's house there that we were just briefly speaking about previously. So there's the original turret on the historic photo, and then their original submittal. This was their mock-up of what the new turret could look like. Again, on the left-hand side is a mock-up of the existing rear of the home, and on the right side, proposed a mock-up of what the rear of the home would look like after the addition. And here was the original two-story conversion from the carport to the two-story, with a proposed mock-up of what it could look like. So as I said, the Historic Review Board asked for additional materials at the September meeting. The applicants provided those. And I apologize, it's not really easy to see these. Hopefully you can see them better on your packets, in your packets. These are the proposed dimensions of the front elevation with the turret, and it's also got the east side elevation, so you can see it from the side view, which would be the driveway side of the home. This would be the rear elevation, showing the existing basement stairs leading down to it, and the existing addition on the right and the proposal on the left. Here are two proposed styles of window that could be placed inside to enclose the turret. And here is the single-story garage option. So on the left would be the front of the garage, and on the right the rear elevation dimensions of the garage. That would be the alley side of the garage where the primary access would be located. Here is the...
Sorry, can you go back to that one real quick?
I sure can.
So that center post there on the left-hand side, is that...
So that's hard
where
to...
the door would slide?
It's actually very hard to describe or draw that particular detail, but what that is the man door to the left is recessed about 10 feet. So... That's actually a alcove to go underneath.
Okay.
The problem is if we leave it where it is, there's no access to the backyard.
Right.
So we're going to drop that back, and then the sliding door would be actually the window section that's there, and on the right side it would slide over.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah, and this gives you the side elevation of the recess there. All right, and this would be the east side or the view from the neighbor's property. Mm-hmm. And the proposal is to repurpose the windows from the front addition that they would remove to restore the turret, and use the windows in the single-story garage option. And here's the two-story garage option. Again, the front elevation on the left, the rear elevation on the right. The west elevation. And the proposed windows they would use on the left there, and then as Peter called it, the man door to access the interior of the garage. And the proposal was to repaint the door, correct?
Correct, yes.
And here is the rear garage door style that they would propose. This would be the alley side, the primary access to the garage for both the one-story and two-story options. And here are a couple of examples of what they could do with the siding of the garage. The left being the vertical siding, the right being a garage in the neighborhood that has horizontal siding. And also what the access door to the front of the garage, the street side of the garage, could potentially look like also.
I'm partial to the garage on the right because my great-grandfather built it. So.
Oh, wow. No. Do you know what year he built it?
I don't. I could find it out for you. Hmm.
So here are some lighting examples. So on the left would be the garage entrance, the man door entrance, and then the side of the house. And then the right on the light would be the car bay in the rear, whether they have one or two of those. Mr. McLaughlin cannot be with us tonight, but he submitted some comments, so I can just read them quickly for you. I think everything looks great. A couple of comments. The board and batten works just fine, I think. It would be typical of a garage being built at a later date than the house. I like the yellow picture with the sliding barn door for a door option. Both single and two-story options look great, but would definitely make the dormers on both an option, but not a necessity. The lighting looks great as well as the window choices. If they have to tear the garage down for new foundations, as I think they'll have to, I hope there's a way to keep the current setback for their benefit. So again, the approval criteria, Community Development Code 25030, 040, 060, and 070. So the staff analysis for the turret and rear addition, that both the turret and rear addition comply with the applicable setback height requirements and roof pitch. The size and scale are appropriate. The proposed turret will restore the original architecture of the home, contributed to the historic district. The rear of the home has two previous additions. The proposed rear addition will mimic the original roof pitch and be subordinate to the original architecture. And the proposed turret and rear addition will use siding and windows that are compatible with the existing materials. So for the conversion to the garage from the carport, I'm going to do two different analyses, one for the two-story and one for the one-story. So for the two-story structure, they would be seeking two modifications. One, reducing the side yard setback from 15 feet to 6 feet. And this was discussed at the previous meeting. And then secondly, allowing a garage door to face the street when an alley access is available. And the primary access will be from the alley. The proposed carport conversion complies with height and rear lot setback standards, complies with setback standards from the house, and it will use siding and windows that are compatible with historic materials. The one-story carport conversion would need one modification. That's, again, allowing a garage door to face the street when an alley access is available. And again, the primary access would be from the alley. The proposed conversion would comply with height, rear and side lot setback standards. It would comply with the setback standard from the house, which was 3 feet. And will, again, use siding and windows that are compatible with historic materials. So the recommendation from staff would be approve the application following to subject to following conditions. So I had four conditions here. The first being the accessory structure, the two-story garage option, the side yard setback modification, that you would approve the modification from 15 down to 6 feet only if the east elevation of the accessory structure does not include any dormers or bump outs on the roof to limit encroachment on the property to the east. Second condition would be garage access for both the one and two-story options. Access modified to maintain an existing street access only if the primary access is from the alley, with the secondary street access disguised with reinforced grass paving in the street facade of the garage containing only a single garage door that replicates the siding used on the rest of the accessory structure. Three, site plan elevations and narrative. The project would conform to the plan's elevation and narrative submitted by the applicants. And four, minor amendment. So with historic review board approval of garage option one, whether that's the one or two story, the applicant may utilize the minor amendment process to construct garage option two, which would be the one or two story option that wasn't one, as the historic review board has found both options to meet the approval criteria. And that is my quick presentation. Any questions?
Can you go back one slide? I just want to jot those down real quick.
There you go, Adam. I've got a copy.
Oh, do you? Even better.
Yeah. If you can read it.
Yep.
Small.
No, that's fine. I can swim. Wonderful. So, do we have any brief questions for staff before moving on to the applicant's presentation?
Yes. So these are the east-facing dormers?
That's the west. Yeah, that would be the west side facing the west side? Interior of the lot.
So these no dormers are proposed on the east side.
Yeah, the east side no dormers are proposed.
No question, man.
Okay.
I was scrambling to look over code, but I feel like there's somewhere in the code that talks about accessory structures supposed to have less than or equal to roof pitch of the primary structure.
It's a no less than.
I think it needs
12, or
certainly less than 12-12.
Yeah, I think it's written that way.
And I'm thinking that it needed to be no steeper than the primary structure, and I don't recall a specific language for accessory structures and roof pitch.
Standards for accessory structure.
And then
setback
the
structures, or setback requirements from the house, height, 2507C7.
Are you asking in pertaining to the garage or the?
Yeah, the garage with the two-story option goes to, looks like a 12-12 pitch.
Yeah,
and
just
wanted to see if there was any language in there if we needed to limit the pitch in any way relative to the primary house.
It says just the general design standards for the district. Roofs shall have a pitch of at least 6 to 12.
Perfect.
That's the only thing in there.
6 to 12.
And then are the setbacks differentiated between a single story and a two-story?
Yes, that's correct. So the single story has to have a 3-foot setback from the house and can be 3 feet from the side property line and 3 feet from the rear, where the two-story has to be 10 feet from the house, a 15-foot side yard, and then it can be 3 feet from the rear.
Significantly more for the two-story.
Yeah.
And we don't do a good job of differentiating sort of story and a half.
No.
Right?
No.
Where the roof line's coming all the way. Okay, that helps. Ready for an applicant presentation?
Yep.
All right. The floor is yours. You have 20 minutes to tell us about the projects and the changes you've made in the plans. And, I think an overview, since Jim wasn't at our last meeting, would be really helpful.
I've reviewed the written record, so if you want to tell me, good.
Okay, I'll start and then I'll let Peter jump in. I'm Kimberly Graves, half of the applicant. We bought this house back in November, waited a few months for some tenants to get out, started with a lot of interior work in January. It's needed a lot of updating. I don't know when it was last updated. I know the primary owners of it had it from 1944 through 2007. So they did a lot of undoing of the historical nature of the home, which we are now trying to redo. We've sent off balusters we found in the basement to Pennsylvania, where my parents lived, to have them re-spun by Amish craftsmen there. So we've got new balusters, and we were trying to really find the historic character of the home. Through my cyber stalking, I found the children that grew up there, the parents' age, and he's actually the one that provided us with the turret picture. I contacted John Clapp first, and he said, nope, nobody's ever seen one. And, you know, everybody knew it had one. Nobody had ever seen it. And I was lucky enough that the man there that I contacted was up in Camas. He was able to give us a picture. So that's been our primary goal in getting in there, is to put that turret back on. And in the works of that, you know, just living in it, we figured out that the upstairs layout is not extremely functional long term. And also, of course, there's a lot to be desired from that garage. So that's kind of the background for the different projects. We've bounced around a lot because if you live in the neighborhood and have a little house, you know that it costs a whole heck of a lot of money to put these things back together. So that's the reason, in large part, for the two garage options, is because, honestly, you know, the bigger one's going to cost more money, and we kind of need the option of saying, okay, you know, stop the bleeding, we're going to go with the one story. So that's part of the reason for the two. But my understanding is we have 3 years from the approval, so we could certainly end up with the two-story one if that's approved as well. I'm the visionary. My husband's the practical one who has to figure out how to do all of this. So I can let him tell you about the specifics of the building.
About me, a long time ago, I was a contractor, so I don't come out at doing this without any background in construction. I used to build houses and pull buildings and concrete and jack of all trades, probably a master of none. But since then, I became a firefighter and moved on to other careers and gone from there. So it does give me some time to work on the structure, and being the historic nature of the house, we're pretty excited to get a hold of it and return it to its original character. If we go through the plan, I guess might as well just go page by page. The plot map, you can see the existing way it is. The carport currently, where it sits, is, you know, the structures, they're really close together the way they sit right now. And if we stay with the one-story option, that's where it'll continue to sit. The driveway will be removed, and like you said, we're going to probably put in some reinforced pavers to allow access to the one side in case we get a boat or a travel trailer or something. Boat.
It all falls apart.
I don't know that part of it.
You can decide that as you're outside of this one.
So the next page is the first floor layout of the existing structure, with the kitchen, the living room, the porch, and the office, and the stairs down to the existing cellar basement area. The proposed layout, all we're doing is adding on about 6 feet, 6 inches to the back of the structure, and running the line across the back there, and extending the second story over that line. The second floor layout of the existing structure, you can see that it's bedroom 1, 2, and 3, and there's a bath up there. Kimberly discussed that the previous owners kind of did some construction projects that necessarily weren't in any sort of historical value, and this is a closet with a toilet and a sink in it, pretty much. So we're going to be actually turning that into the proposed second floor, where we're going to turn the existing bathroom into a closet, and you can see that the addition is for a master bathroom for future use. We're going to shift the current bathroom for the other two bedrooms into where the closets were. It shouldn't affect the structure of the home at all. It It should be actually a fairly easy conversion. From the street view, nothing is changing here other than the addition of the turret.
Want to talk about the windows on the turret now?
Oh, sure. So the windows, I think you just said last meeting they discussed the options of arched versus square. The trim is going to be arched, and we're likely going to go with square windows. The cost of the windows is fairly cost prohibitive to go ahead and go with the arched windows. They're about $5,000 a window. So we'd be looking at $10,000 just for putting windows into the structure. However, I have actually today located some old wood windows that I can pick up and refurbish and turn in. And they're the exact same styles as that are on the house currently. And so the profiles inside the window should really mimic the shape of the original windows in the house.
And they're French style.
Yeah.
Or the line in the middle.
There will be a line in the middle.
And I guess just before you get off of that, we can have a little bit of Q&A as we go.
You bet.
That as you have, you're going to essentially have a mullion and a mullion that will be a pair.
Currently, there will be no mullion at the top. The mullion will go up through the middle all the way to the arch.
All the way to the arch.
Correct.
And then a square, how does that work with a square window? And
so the trim on the outside of the window is going to come original. It'll be shingles.
That it'll be a square behind it with this trim over the
correct.
Top.
So it'll be finished with probably a piece of 5/4 cedar, and then the cedar shingles, because if you look at the photograph, it's actually shingles arched over the top of the window.
Can you go back?
I sure can. That the historic photo?
Yes.
Yeah. I'll get there.
Is there enough setback between the arch and the edge of this that the window will be able to open?
So the French doors are going to go in instead of out. So you can see that there are actually three rows of approximately 5-inch shingles arched over the top of the arch. My goal is to mimic that exactly. I'm going to go into as much trouble as I can in order to get the corbels right with all the grooves and everything, so it will look architecturally exactly like that, hopefully. You can also see the spindles at the bottom of the opening. The plan is to find those and have them turned. Obviously, I can't put those in the window. That would look awfully funny, but I'm going to put a piece of 1x12 and then split them in half and then put them onto the 1x12, so it should look visually exactly the same. The only difference would be the French door separation in between. I do have, the windows that I found. I'm with you. How do you say that?
Mullion.
There we go. The mullion. I'm not sure exactly how I want that to look and how it's going to look when I get there. Right now, I just want the center French door there, and I want to leave it as open as possible. Obviously, mullions can be glued on glass if I need to make it look better. So sure. Whatever is going to look the best is hopefully what we'll go for. The photograph or the 3D drawing on the right, you can actually see the French door. That's the way it will look currently.
Cool.
Point me out the French door.
It's not a French door. A French casement window. Excuse me.
A casement window, but that comes.
Yeah. He's got a pointer.
Yeah.
And I've probably got the original.
My concern for you, editorializing, is how you weatherproof it. Coming from a fellow contractor.
Oh yeah.
It is really nice to be able to have your windows or doors close against a mullion for weather stopping. And I think that's a potential challenge you have.
Something
to consider.
On a new window, you lock one in place and the other one hits hard against it.
Exactly.
To lock, but on an older window, that lock in place are those old, brass pins.
You said only one side.
You don't get the tightness.
I could actually probably cut in the base of the window into the window. In other words, so the window overlaps over the top of the angled front.
Yeah.
So that way, and you know, router out as angled. That would prevent any water from getting in there, I think.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It is, you're right, it is a south facing window, so yeah. It's going to be a challenge.
You're going to get some weather, and that the mullion and the sill is just challenging on something that opens in, originally when I'd seen this and at your first proposal, I anticipated a square window that was going to go to basically the base of the rounded part and have a horizontal mullion with a fixed upper light and windows that would come out that would be easier to weatherproof. But that was... Keep going with your presentation. Sorry.
The Marvin windows that do exist, the ones that we drew in, are interior French swinging.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somehow they figured out a sill.
Yeah.
Yes, they better, because they have to warranty.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Maybe I'll look at those.
See what go to Home Depot, take a few pictures.
So that is the goal with those. If you look at the side... elevation, which would be facing east, the turret. I'm actually glad that I drew it by hand again, because I did run into a slight variation where the 3D drawing and the actual pencil drawing, I realized that there was a little more space there. So if you look, can you go, actually, right back to the one you were at. The overhang that's over the man door between the garage and the house, I switched that to a similar design. Actually, I looked at your plan, and it gave me the idea of putting a gable instead of a slope coming over the man door. It just allowed... There was too much wall there, I guess is what I'd like to say. There was too much wall, and it also covers up the space to the current basement access. I drew it two different ways. I'd like to approve both. One is with a 3-foot bump out in order to eliminate the double door that you're looking at right there into a single door. So instead of walking in and there's a two door side by side, which I think would look kind of funny, bumping out the wall 3 feet underneath the covering in order to allow access into the basement or the house.
So of these two options, the single door is
the preferred. Well, the thing is it's going to be not there for quite a while, because it's going to, I'm not going to be able to put that on until later on in the process. But the goal would be to go to the single door. The rear elevation from the alley side. The drawing is without the current. There is a covered porch existing on there currently. I did find today a set of very period accurate double hung windows, double doubles, just like that are on the rest of the house. They're slightly shorter than my original ones, but I should be able to take them and add a flower box in order to look elongate the look of the window, because that historic nature, you know, all those houses or the windows in that neighborhood have the very tall, very skinny windows, and so my goal would be to elongate the look of it. But it's in a great spot for having a shorter window, because that's where upstairs where the bathtub is going to be. So it needs to be a little higher anyway. We will be replacing an aluminum sliding glass door that's currently underneath the awning there, and also there's an aluminum 2x2 window that is going to get replaced with a wood window, which I also located today. It was a good day. I felt like a picnic. Okay, any questions there? I think I heard Kimberly mention something about structural questions on the second story. So the second story is going to cantilever over the existing basement access stairwell a little bit. I'm going to be putting in a 3x3 footing with a post there to support the second story structure until we can go in and reinforce the entire foundation under that portion. But it should hold up just fine, and obviously the building department will keep me honest. Let's see. Oh. In the one drawing, I think you see that I drew the windows at a diagonal or a diamond shape, and I do think that is the way I'm going to do that window, both there, and it also match with the existing aluminum window is going to be replaced with a diamond window also, which that's going to be in a closet.
There's all of the house stuff, and then the rest is the garage.
Any questions on the house? So, obviously what Kimberly said, the cost of this project has been going up immensely as we move along. I think we've already... Before we even got into the outside, we've already spent over $75,000. So we're moving right along in cost, and it's time to consider some options. Currently, the structure where it sits, as it sits, is actually a pretty decent garage if I just put walls on it and update, obviously, the look of it, add some period-correct eave boards, and put some siding on. We're requesting two options, either original splayed siding on the structure, or batten board cedar siding.
What do you prefer?
I really don't know. That's the hard part. There's, I kind of prefer the batten board, just because at one point we were reading in the code where it asks any additions to not try to mimic the original historic structure, so that makes me think it. Batten board would be better because I'm not trying to mimic the historic nature of the home. However, obviously, it's all up to each individual to what they like.
Yeah. Wasn't that John's comment?
Yeah,
you like the board and batten.
And reasoning for his comment.
And most of the historic garages in the district are differentiated from the house, that they have a different siding product than the primary residence.
Mm-hmm. I obviously either are readily available. I've been able to find both, so we'll go with either one of those products.
In my opinion, the board and batten looks good on a larger structure versus a 7-8 foot wall. It looks
right
out of place on a 7 or 8 foot wall. You want to try to hide that by lengthening it out. Where on the board and batten, want it to be more of a monument, it defines the structure versus, like you said, camouflaging it. So
yeah, we're farm-like. Fairly open exactly. To either option, yeah. If you guys are interested one way or the other. I'm not stuck on either one, to be honest.
I think you really have to make serious consideration if it's going to stay one story or two story on what you do.
Because
there's a complete difference.
Yeah.
As we're looking at it,
we may recommend one on one versus another.
Yeah. I think.
Mm-hmm. And the single story, it's just enclosing it, and in order to get a garage door in the back of that structure, I'm going to have to do some interesting building in order to make it work properly, just in order to fit the garage door and to accomplish the slope that I need into the structure. So actually inside the structure, the floor inside will be sloped.
Yeah.
I can't see any other way around it. It's possible, depending on the building department, that I'll be able to fit a door in the existing structure where it is, but it's obviously I've got to get into...
Yeah.
Talk to those guys and make sure that it's going to work for us.
What's the ruling or rules for grading the alleyway for, because some of the alleyways are pretty pronounced and high, and you drop off the alleyway into the yards. There was, there was one a couple years ago where they took a foot or a foot and a half out of it because it kept flooding the yards on the downhill side. You might look into that, because if you can grade that to accommodate some of your egress into the garage, you might do that instead of raising the structure up higher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, if you had to do a new slab or footings anyway, you might pick up the other part of it.
I don't think they're going to make me do a new slab and footing with the single story option. Mm-hmm. They will make me do it on the two story.
Sure.
So I was planning on that both ways.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a moot point. If you do the two story, you just bring it up to the grade of where it is and have
It's probably a foot and a half. It's probably the elevation there.
In this elevation, you know, shingles on the single story.
Yeah, I would like to put some shingles just to kind of tie the house. Obviously, the house has some interesting shingle patterns on it. I'd like to just tie in the house a little bit with a shingle pattern there. Just in the gable.
Sure.
Since we decided to go on the single-story structure, I was looking at window options, and at first I was drawing other window options, and then I remembered that I have a bunch of windows that I'm going to be tearing off the building, and they're nice old wood windows, light windows. They won't be opening. They'll just be, I'll frame them in, and should look pretty good. Yep. The rear, we are going to purchase the lights that you saw. Those would be the lights that we will use. I noted on the drawing 16 to 18 feet on a single door. That's going to largely depend on what the engineering is going to allow me to do. I'd like to go 18, but 16 is probably more likely. So obviously I'm trying to keep it as low profile as possible. And the wider you go, the bigger beam you have to put in, and eventually the house raises. The two-story would be just a brand-new structure, and we would try to match the house with siding on that structure. Is that it?
I think we were just talking about
doing the batten board.
Yes, doing the opposite of that, but the board and batten would be better in the large garage.
The thing that I would probably disagree with that is just because I'd like to use the original windows. If you look at the front drawing of the two-story house, I did a 1 foot bump out in order to make, if you look at the original house, all of the dormers, of the house, they're, you know, approximately a 5 foot sidewall, but they have that narrow look. And so I was trying to, you know, without making too much of a difference in my structure, to just to bump that out, just to kind of mimic it a little bit, to give it a similar look to everything else. The two doors that are sitting there, obviously those won't be there. Those are just something I drew in. The one will be a sliding door, and then the other one will be siding.
But to bring that gable out and have the same sort of step and detail that you have on the house.
Exactly. That was the goal of that. So it just doesn't look, if you take it out, it looks like a completely different structure. It just adds a little bit of a detail. I can put the same trim that's on the house onto that portion of the whole structure, but that portion specifically will make it look really similar to the house.
Saying that if money were not an issue, you'd be going for the two-story.
I would.
And the boat.
Yeah, and the boat.
And the boat, apparently.
However, yes, it is. That it is becoming a money pit rapidly.
We still need to do a whole foundation.
Yeah, the foundation. Initially, I thought it was two layers of brick side by side, And the more in looking at it, I kept on looking back and forth and thinking I had it nailed down. Well, it's only a single layer of brick, and then it has columns. But, I mean, it's been standing for 112 years, so.
So, with the... We're still in question and answer time here. I guess my last question for you, I think, is with the city's report... recommendation of the garage being approved with one or the other and coming back for sort of an administrative change, which would you want the board to approve at this point?
I would say the one story for now. Just the cost, I started doing the math, and the one story is going to be more feasible for now. And honestly, if I want to change to the two-story, the cost it's going to cost me to tear out the one story that I already built is not going to be a ton more. So if in 3 years we decide to, you know, remove the sidewalls and all the materials will be reused and go back right back onto the two-story version, but it shouldn't be that much.
And $45,000 more.
And, yes. Yeah, I know. I just got my first estimate on the turret addition at $29,000. So
yeah. I think there would be an administrative cost for it if you went back, but then comparison to what you're putting out, I don't think it would matter.
Yeah, it's peanuts. Okay. Well, that wraps up the applicant's testimony. And there is no public testimony to be had. The applicant really can't really respond to the public testimony. There's no need to continue this again. We'll be able to hear this evening, fellow board members?
Yep.
Good. Questions of staff. Does staff have any further comments or clarification regarding the application, or can we close the public hearing?
I have nothing further.
I don't have anything.
Any further? All right. Well, with that, we will close the public hearing. And we get to deliberate and make motions. So, would this be easiest for everyone if we split it into sort of the three separate projects and deliberated each on its own basis and then made sort of motions for each? Or do we want to try and capture it all?
I think that's more of a question for you. Does it have to be captured as one project with an addendum for the second garage, or can we do it in three?
You can make as many major motions as you want to make, essentially, and break it into pieces. And then at the very end, if you find that you've approved by separate motion the three separate pieces, you can say, therefore, DR-1505 is approved based on whatever conditions you've kind of laid out in your previous motions. So.
Okay. So that the first item is the house and the turret.
I would make the motion to approve based on staff recommendations.
Second.
Hold on. What are the staff recommendations on that? So there were no staff recommendations.
There were no conditions.
Conditions to that.
Just the plan.
Yep. Just following the submitted.
Plans. All right, we have a
motion.
Do we need to vote on each of these motions individually? Would that be the easiest? Or okay.
We would have to close a motion before reopening.
Yes.
So we had
motions.
I'm still seconding.
Seconding? Okay. Let's take a vote.
All right. Board Member Mattis.
Yes.
Board Member Lewis.
Yes.
Board Member Manning.
Yes.
Chair Peterson.
Yes.
All right. Motion passes.
Excellent. Next item, the rear addition. So, again, no specific recommendations or amendments within the staff report.
I would move the approval of the Article 5 relative to the addition, subject to the site plans
submitted.
Condition.
And any requirements on the windows and doors that are being replaced in the rear?
What's our?
Well, I.
No, it says in there that they meet historical.
Perfect.
And match, so just as long as they do that, right?
Okay.
Is there a second?
I will second.
All right. Board Member Mattis.
Yes.
Board Member Lewis.
Yes.
Board Member Manning.
Yes.
Chair Peterson.
Yes.
All right.
Excellent. All right. And
one is the second. Yeah. One. You have the option of, if you don't want us to approve the second story because you don't think it's going to happen, to do that also.
The wife wants it.
So. That's funny, and I was going to say he likes to have options. So
okay, just wanted to throw that out.
Yeah,
okay.
Now options are probably
okay.
So on the basis of the garage,
one story, two story.
It sounds like whatever motion, if we're going to approve something, it would be for the one story with allowing potentially the two story, and something that. Talk about with the setbacks on the two-story.
I'd stipulate that the one story is the primary one that we're approving at this time, and that the second story would be the one that you would have to do the addendum for. Mm-hmm.
With the note for no dormers or bump outs on the east side with the two-story option,
yes.
But allowing the reduced 6-foot setback.
Is that in the current staff plan?
Yes.
It is?
Yes.
And then the garage access being primary from the alley and a secondary access but being disguised from the street. And I guess from my seat, I'm less concerned about some of the disguise. And I only say that because it is an existing non-contributing with street access. And that an approval of a building in the current place to make them undo something that is currently there. I don't necessarily disagree with the staff report. I don't know if that step is necessary or not, and I'd be interested in feedback.
I think you'd have to get rid of the current driveway area, mm-hmm. because you can't have a drive-through building on the property.
Right.
And that's what that would allow you to do.
Sure. So
you would have to make it a little harder to get your travel trailer in there than pull a car through. You know.
Mm-hmm. Would you... So right now there's a driveway approach on the street side.
Right. But right now the staff is recommending removing that and putting the permeable pavers in.
Well, I didn't hear any change to the sidewalk and drive. I'm hearing that you'd remove the asphalt paving from back of sidewalk to garage and essentially landscape with a drivable surface. But we'll still have a curb cut.
Yeah,
and driveway, right?
They need that. Yeah.
You need that to get in and out.
Get the trailer in, so.
The problem with the trailer was that you can't make the alley turn.
Right. No, you have to have that access.
Yeah, you can't. So.
The three times you use it a year, you can drag it across the grass and not worry about it. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's kind of steep. If you got rid of the curb cut and all that, that would be a pretty steep chunk across the sidewalk to the street. So you'd want to leave that this year.
And that section is actually elevated more than a
normal.
It's
probably
is
it? 2 feet up.
Yeah.
At least.
Okay.
So, James, am I hearing a little different opinion in terms of you would go with the staff recommendation on that?
No, I'd say follow the staff recommendation exactly.
You would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Remove your driveway from the sidewalk to the structure and change it with the, that cross grid cement blocks that they recommend.
Okay.
I guess I do have a quick question. Is this appropriate time, or is that okay?
Yeah.
So we will be putting patio.
No, it's not. Technically, it's not. No, it's not. But
here we are.
Just making sure. Thank you.
Well, no, it's not. But we're also deliberating sort of the front yard improvements right here.
I can hold until later.
That's fine.
If you feel that it will impact our decision, we could stop and reopen the hearing.
That you could do.
Nah.
If you feel that it won't impact our decision, you just want to say something later.
That's fine. Yeah.
I guess my point is that I don't think that we need to be too restrictive in the language of that front yard, other than it sounds like to disguise it. But as far as specifying the particular drivable pavers and whatnot, is sort of up to the applicant as far as how they treat that, as long as they disguise the fact that it's a driveway.
I would be comfortable with that.
Is what I...
Say that again, Jim. I didn't hear what you said.
To keep the options open of how the driveway gets disguised, so take out the restriction about the permeable pavers, and instead to say as long as the front entrance of garage does not look like an approach from a driveway, but rather a yard.
We have to define something, because they're going to say that, you know, I don't want to put any words in their mouth, but when it's two muddy tracks in the yard, they're going to say, we disguise the yard as these two muddy tracks. There has to be something defined.
If there's going to be a driveway on that side, it needs to be a drivable surface.
Yes.
And we're also looking for it to not be paved.
Or gravel, because that's not hidden either.
Sure.
You know? So
something that's planted.
Yeah, there's basically two options, the square ones or the round ones.
Right.
You know, over the whole yard or just the tracks where the car goes. You know, that's kind of the options, and I think the staff recommendations would give them the leeway to do that. I don't think, you know, to your point, we don't have to define exactly what they want.
Exactly.
But we have to define something there.
So read the staff recommendation.
Garage access can be modified to maintain an existing street access only if the primary access is from the alley, with the secondary street access disguised with reinforced grass paving and the street facade of the garage containing only a single garage door that replicates the siding used on the rest of the accessory structure.
And I'm okay with that, because that could mean a 12-inch wide strip for each tire, or you could
do the
whole side yard that way.
Sure.
You know.
Okay.
So, like I say, they make them in square versions and round versions, you know. So
you're bringing me back to support the staff condition.
Okay. Yeah. So in support of the staff condition, and do we want to make any specific recommendations for the sort of a barn door, garage door, and how that looks and functions? It's a disguise.
I gave
access.
My opinion on the style. I think, yeah, that's up to them.
Okay.
As long as it looks historic, you know.
Sounds good. Somebody, do we want to talk about this further, or does somebody want to make a motion?
I would make a motion that we approve to staff recommendations on the one story as the primary approval, and then follow up with the two story as a secondary approval.
Subject to the staff.
Subject to the staff recommendations.
Was there a recommendation on siding that I missed?
No. It's
either one. Up to you.
You submitted two different plans that would work.
Okay.
That would meet the requirements and
yes.
Okay.
Either would work.
I would second that motion.
Excellent. Right. Let's take a vote.
All right. Going reverse order. Board Member Manning.
Yes.
Board Member Lewis.
Yes.
Board Member Mattis?
Yes.
Chair Peterson?
Yes.
Motion passes.
So, we took three separate motions on the three separate parts of the project, and all passed based on staff analysis and recommendations.
Yep.
Is there any need to describe that in any further detail?
I think the only thing... We need to do the second.
To approve the whole DR.
Two-story garage, right?
I think thought we did.
Because we have an additional setback need for the second story.
But that's part of staff recommendations.
Okay. Okay. That was part of staff recommendations for the two-story options as a secondary. So.
Okay. I think we should put those, have those both together for the, if they want to change their mind later, it would be easier, wouldn't it?
So, if I can comment.
Yes.
There is a motion. Essentially, what you're doing is you're agreeing to approve design review 15-05, subject to the staff's recommended conditions of approval, with the understanding that garage option one is the first story garage, and that the garage option two is a second story garage that would require a minor amendment.
Yes. Correct.
So you can approve 15-05, subject to the staff's recommended conditions of approval, with a specification that garage option one is a single-story garage. And that will do everything that you have just done in your motions and approve this project.
Okay. So you're wanting to wrap all of our previous motions into one?
Yes.
That will fix it, and you will have adopted the entire project.
I would so move as expressed by the city attorney.
Seconds.
All right.
All right.
The approval of DR 1505.
Board Member Mattis.
Yes.
Board Member Lewis.
Yep.
Board Member Manning.
Yes.
And Chair Peterson.
Yes.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Easy as that.
Well, let me say, we're excited. You're excited about bringing that house back to its originality, despite the cost that you're doing.
Yeah. Truly, what you guys are doing is what the board and the district and this is all about. And to have homeowners move in that want to do it is awesome.
And when you're done with your house, get on this board so you can help other people navigate
the process. That's how I ended up here.
Is that how you ended up on the board?
Yeah. Well, excellent. So that resolves the public hearing part of our meeting. So next up is business from the Historic Review Board.
Can I just make one short comment? If you would like to appeal this decision to the City Council, you have 14 days from the date of the signing of the final decision to do so.
And I guess before...
What's the deadline date for the decision?
When does the decision... They'll sign it. So generally what we'll do is we will make the modifications to the conditions of approval specified by the board this evening. We'll provide that final decision with the findings to the board for signature. And I don't know exactly how long that will take, but it's usually anywhere from a couple of days to a week.
Okay. Probably by the end of the week, it'll be formally signed. And then...
Yeah, as long as I can track Adam down to sign it, it'll be good.
It'll be signed by Friday. Okay. Should be in good shape. And that a number of these things that you guys are talking about doing require building permits, and you know that. And that we don't lay out structure or any of that.
We'll
editorialize, but we don't get to weigh in. Business from the Historic Review Board. Jim, there have been a few items that we haven't had a chance to talk about because we've had a very busy agenda.
And they've changed a little bit since I submitted it at the last meeting that I was able to make. At that time, we've been supporting the action that Regional Oregon was proposing, or that we were West Lynn Historical Society was proposing to Regional Oregon to get the Old City Hall onto the endangered list.
Mm-hmm.
But that that train has moved out of the station, and it's not on that list. So now what I'm bringing to you and would hope the board would endorse would be support for the preservation of Old City Hall in support of the West Lynn Historical Society. Because it's going to be an ideal information place and gateway for the Willamette Falls Heritage Area. It's ideally situated to be reused for that purpose. What I outline in the letter is that, you know, hopefully someday it actually would get taken back to its original private public beginnings of 1936, built with New Deal dollars. And a grocery store on the ground floor. City Hall was on the top floor. And it would be, we do, and everybody does need to understand that there are some seismic elements that need to be addressed. But there's been some additional information discovered since the 1996 consultants report, which shows the structure is not just a brick building, but there's concrete and there is reinforcement bar on some of it. That doesn't mean that there isn't issues there and we need to be cared for, but there's also two different standards at the time they were talking about that, what would it cost to be a first responders building.
Yes.
That's a little different standard for the rest of us peons who don't have to worry about that. But there would still be a cost involved with it. It is all very likely that it could get put on the National Historic Register and be eligible for that, and that would allow for open up some grant opportunities and some other sorts of things. And in this, I say, you know, we would be fully supportive of trying to do anything we could as a board to champion that cause, and we would ask this be forwarded on to the city's task force that's currently looking at surplus property, vacant properties, and City Hall is one of the ones that they're looking at to make recommendations to the city.
So, Jim, who are you proposing this letter be primarily addressed to?
To the task force.
To the task force?
Is that what it's called, Megan, the surplus?
I believe, yes, they're forming a task force.
Yeah.
I think there's currently 8 members, and they're potentially taking a few more, so it's not completely solidified yet, but it will be a task force.
But I think we should also copy City Council.
Absolutely.
I'm very supportive of this, and sad we missed the window to get this to Restore Oregon, and would hope that they'd won some support at some point, if not in this round. I guess also just to put on record before further discussion, a member of my immediate family is on the board of the Historical Society. Don't want to be conflicted, but put it out there.
Is there any benefit at this point to also sending it to SHPO?
SHPO probably should receive a copy and Restore Oregon.
Okay, but addressed to the local task force.
To the local task force.
How about to Willamette Paper? Because you're going to eventually ask them for parking, right?
For
this building, there's no parking around it other than street parking. That's technically part, the footprint of the building is all that is the property.
That is true, but that gets wrapped up with the whole, what do we do with the whole Arch Bridge planning area?
But as we all know, that's not going to happen. So
well,
administration.
Come on, James.
But it might be worth sending it to the paper company also, in case they feel generous of, giving you 20 parking spots behind the building again.
Yeah, it's no harm, certainly.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Okay. Yeah, that would be Brian, is it Moynihan?
Conan.
Conan.
Yep.
Yes.
You're right.
He's the manager.
Yes.
It's the building I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay.
So would you want me to put this into a letter form?
It should be on, do we have letterhead?
What would be great is to be on letterhead and something that with the board's approval I could sign, and if you could facilitate the two and CCs and getting it distributed.
Okay.
And that I think we should take a vote on whether or not we support this.
Yeah. I'll make that motion that we support this.
I'll second it.
All right.
Board Member Manning.
Yes.
Board Member Lewis.
Yes.
Board Member Mattis.
I think I have to say yes.
You better.
Chair Peterson.
Yeah, it's great. Cool. Any further reports from the Historic Review Board? New business? Okay. Reports from staff.
All right. So I have five different items to discuss. They should not take too long. So, as you probably know or have heard, I sent I sent out the postcard for the CLG grant match program about 2 weeks ago now. And I gave them a short turnaround this time. I know previously they were given about 2 months, but just give them about a month this time. They're due November 6th. So again, it's the same stipulations, 3 quotes from contractors, and then the same criteria that was used the last time with the Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. Get the proposals in by November 6th, and then we would bring them to the board November 17th at your next meeting. And right now, I have had interest from 3 different folks.
Excellent.
And one of the projects is marginal, whether it would actually meet the criteria or not. So at this point, there's probably 2 that would be legitimate.
Okay.
Legitimate.
And I think on the... You'd have to go look at the fine print, but I think the 3 contractors can also be...
One
can be the property owner.
That's correct. Yeah. Yep. One can be the property owner, and the other 2 would be...
Perfect.
Yep. And so, yeah, again,
so
bring
it... So criteria is for existing projects that have been approved... Projects haven't been approved.
I don't have it. I should have brought it with me.
Sorry, it's completed projects that meet criteria, existing projects that have been approved, and potential approved projects.
Yeah. So any project that requires the board approval mm-hmm. has to go through the board approval process
right.
at the same time or
yeah.
tracking along. But the approval criteria are the different types of projects. So like one replacing historic features that have gone away.
Like a turret, for example.
Yes, okay. Exactly. Or, you know, replacing aluminum windows with wood windows, whatever. And then there's a second class, and then there's a third class. And then
primary facades versus secondary
right.
facades. Yes. And then there's all sorts of things.
And the money is distributed by those classes.
Yes.
It's up to us to
allocate yeah. funds available. Okay.
Yes, so if you had 20 projects, you would need to find a way to rank them. But if you only have 2, then you don't.
Yeah.
And how much? What are the total funds available? Do you know?
$12,000. Thank
wow.
you.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Last year you had $6,000. This year.
We have $12,000, and it's a matching grant.
It's a matching grant. Yep.
So if the applicant has a $10,000 project that we can contribute 5, and they
yep.
can contribute 5, kind of thing.
That's correct.
Great.
Yeah, yep, and if the board does not approve all 12,000, then in late winter I'll send out another postcard and go through the process again.
You said you've got 3 in so far?
No, I have not received any yet. I've had 3 inquiries.
Questions.
Yep, and the applicants before you tonight were one of the inquiries.
Correct.
And like I said, one of the inquiries would not even meet the criteria. So, and I let them know that.
Great.
All right. And keeping along those lines, so with those CLG funds, in the grant process, well, Sarah was still here, there was $1,000, well, 500 came from the city, 500 from the grant process, for $1,000 for training for the board. So I've gotten postcards. Actually, one of these is addressed to you, Jim. There you go. And then you guys can, whoever wants to take this, but there's the annual Oregon Heritage Conference.
I've been around too long.
May 4th to 6th next spring down in Salem. So that would be probably a nice conference to attend, and the city could pick up most of the costs. We do have $1,000 to spend, and it has to be spent by July or August 31st. So, okay. Or you guys can send me to like Washington D.C. to a conference if you want to.
All right. This is
not Minnesota interest right there.
Not Minnesota.
Okay.
All right. So, if anyone's interested in that, let me know, and well, you guys can ultimately decide who wants to go. But
sure,
I can
we
help
should
you
all
track
go
that.
Together. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Not as a quorum.
If we
okay.
all go together, we have to have enough public notice, so if any civilian wanted to go, they could go too. Each of many of us in the same room without a public notice.
So then we've got John, Adam, and Chris. Terms expire at the end of the year.
Okay.
So need to know if you want to re-up again, and then I'll find out what the appointment process is with council.
And Jim, isn't yours expiring also?
No.
He's got another year.
He's got
stuck
one more
for another year.
I do have another year, and I did say I, because of some other responsibilities I've taken on, that I, but I don't, I could probably stay on for that last year. But how are we doing? One of the things that Sarah did, if you recall a year ago, she had some other folks potentially lined up.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't keep their names. I don't know if anybody, you were one? All right.
Were you?
On Sarah's list, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
That's good to know. That's an opportunity.
All right, and I can dig that list up. I'll dig through and find it.
She tried to get us both.
Yeah.
Adam, I certainly hope you do plan to re-up.
I'm considering it. I'm likely to move out of the district within the next year, so
it's not a requirement.
I understand it, but my interest in it is selfish in the fact that I live in the district. Yeah. So, and I also have a new little girl. So,
yeah.
Trying to decide that. But, yeah, I'm considering it and talking to my wife about it. This Samantha's term isn't up, but I don't know that she's ever or been to a meeting in a very, very long time.
Yeah.
Is her term going to be sort of, do we need to address that? Is she a part of the board?
I was
going to bring
that up because I'm on a couple other different things, and we have an attendance requirement that if you miss 3 consecutive or 6 in a year without good notice or good reason, and that's up to you to decide if that, you two really to decide if that's good notice or good reason, then it's, grounds for non-renewal,
So it's dictated by the Westland Municipal Code 2090 or 2.099, I believe, stipulates that it's 3 absences without notice. But I don't believe that it states that anything about the type of notice, like how the quality of notice, or just that it's 3 absences without notice, I think is the language. I'd have to double check that. And then we would just have to verify against the meetings that haven't been attended to see whether or not that code provision would come into play.
Yeah, she has contacted me each meeting that I've been involved with to let me know that she's not going to be here. So,
Now, and she still has a year left.
Yeah, she was new with me.
She just started.
Mm-hmm. I'd love for her to participate, be a part of it. I don't want to kick her out. I just,
if we're meeting on the one night that, if she works, we're second Tuesday, what is this? I don't know what this is, but if there's something wrong with our night systemically, I would be open to a doodle poll exercise to make it work for her.
Yeah, I think it's a child care issue is what it's mostly been.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fair.
It makes it difficult, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if there are people in the community that would want to be on the board that could attend regularly, and we've had a number of issues running up against a quorum, and that's my bigger concern, is making sure that, this project got bumped a couple of times, and that I want to process people's projects as quickly and efficiently as possible. So
start rants.
And I can breach that subject with her, too, if you'd like me to.
Can you put that in the notes of this meeting that we discuss this and maybe make clarification of what it says? Because, if they're going to read the notes that come out of the meeting minutes, they're going to say, wow, maybe this isn't for me, because in all honesty, I would love to have whoever wants to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And wanting to be here and being here are 2 different things, because I could want to be here and not be here.
Well, I think
it has to be for the good of the community.
Right, and it should be in the notes. I agree with that. But it needs a personal touch. And I've been in more than one situation on boards that I've had to chair where I've had to go to people and say, maybe this just isn't the time for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
One time when somebody moved, to Salem, and it was very difficult to get sort of stuff. Maybe, it's this chronic child care thing. And then, that gives them an opportunity to rethink it as well, if you do it in the general way.
Jim, do you think it would be most appropriate coming from me or Darren?
I think it'd be most appropriate coming from you.
From you,
okay.
Yeah. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Thank you.
I will provide you with the code requirements before you have that conversation.
Yeah, and I'll be 100% tactful, and we'd like her inclusion, but concerned about our obligation to have a quorum at these meetings.
Right.
And
for the good of the community.
I think John has expressed the fact that he's not interested in re-upping. Is that my memory right on that?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't heard that from him, but... I
want to check for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I'll definitely have a discussion with John and Chris and Adam, of course. And if they're not going to go for another round, then I'm going to need to find that list really quickly. Oh, yeah, we've got two right here.
Perfect.
One. But they are inside our
controller
department, so we only need one.
She's a better one.
Yeah, you've got obligations to your job, your career, too. So.
Yeah.
All right, anything further on that?
No.
All right, so item number 4, this will go quick. Everyone remember this? Mm-hmm. The annual report?
Oh, yes.
Okay, so we're approaching the point in time when we need to start thinking about this again. And I'm not sure how you've done it in the past, but I was just thinking that I could draft something for you.
That would be wonderful.
Bring it to the next meeting. And then
tasks have been done in the past.
All right, good. And then challenges and goals. I could just list a couple of items, and you guys could have that discussion. We could modify it and send it off.
That would be perfect.
And one of the things you can include in that is our continued
support.
Of City Hall.
Yes, absolutely.
So, Jim, on that City Hall, another question I have for you. We talked.
Okay,
6 months, a year ago.
Yeah.
17th is an open hearing, right? November 17th.
Yep.
Congratulations, guys. Thanks for your patience
and you can you can ask the folks on the
board. Oh, yeah.
I believe they encourage you to come and support your application.
On the 17th, the grant.
Yeah.
Hearing.
Absolutely.
Okay. Have some really nice drawings of how it's historically relevant to bringing back there to the neighborhood.
You only need to spend $5,000.
Right, we'll get this all drawn up. Okay. Well, we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
So, you know, we spoke a few months, a year ago, I forget now, about how you and other organizations could access the old City Hall since it's being maintained and heated and security and, everything is there except for,
being able to use it.
Phone lines and it's Market. Powered up,
Yeah.
Have you gotten any farther on that?
Well, not truly, because it's sort of been held in abeyance pending
this committee,
the task force, to look at all of the properties. But we did feel that we advanced the ball a little bit by getting that on the council's five goal list, to create. It's been a little slower getting that task force created.
Right.
Ken Worcester has already done a lot of the groundwork in terms of the backgrounds for all of those properties. Okay. Some of them have conditions on them.
Yeah.
Some of them, all this sort of stuff. So that's been done for at least 3 months, I think.
If you feel there's anybody that I could pester again, Jenny or Ken or anybody like that, let me know.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, that's what
it's silly to have that building heated and, the police drive by to make sure it's not broken into without, your laptop sitting in there.
Well, pressuring, the counselors and Chris Jordan did the same thing, saying, that was one of your goals, but I don't have any names yet, to go on there. So they have gotten to that. I'm not sure they've gotten everybody yet.
I don't believe so. What I recall from the previous council meeting when they appointed the task force is that they appointed 8 members, I believe, and they said that if additional members applied, that they would look at adding those members to the task force. I that's my recollection. I'd have to go back and actually listen to the minutes to be sure.
So I don't think they've actually had their first meeting yet.
I know they haven't had their first meeting.
Okay.
I know that the most that has happened at this point is at least the 8 members who have been selected have been notified of their selection on the task force.
Yeah. So I, at least we got to that point now. And Old City Hall is one. That's one reason we wanted
You know, the biggest issue, I think, is that when the new police station was at being advocated, a lot of folks, you know, bought the argument because that building was going to fall down around their ears, and that's the last, we weren't the first responders for that to happen. Mm-hmm. And there is a seismic issue involved, but it probably is not as great as was believed at that time. But the problem is the political perception.
Yeah, there has to be a huge PR campaign on that, because there are so many people talking about how much the new project was a boondoggle for the city and for the police department to move, if the other one now mysteriously is easily fixed or easier fixed.
But you have to differentiate the standards from first responders to general public too.
But it wasn't 6 months after the dedication of the new building that these new revelations came out, you know, and that's what hurts the progress.
And then there's already a couple folks on the budget committee that were already expressing that same thing. You know, we can't do this.
Yeah.
It's going to look like the city's lied to people again. Yeah. You know, so it's going to take, you know, some information. Standards are different, no question about it.
But when I say a PR campaign, I don't think it has to be a PR campaign from the city staff, because who's going to believe that? Sorry. You know? It has to be from you and me and people on different committees to say, no, this is what really happened. That's because if it, you know, no offense, you know, but if it comes from the city, you know what I would say. If it comes from the city, they're going to say, oh, this is just another way to spend tax dollars.
Well,
you know,
it's not a fair assessment. I think this board can be helpful on that. Certainly the Westland Historical Society is very much involved with John Clapp in particular.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I can, you know, get the Wild Falls Heritage Foundation and probably the Air Coalition to...
You know, and that's why I think that if you can get support from the mill to, you know, give you a lease on 20 spots in the back, that goes a long ways to proving, hey, you know what, we've got something moving here.
Yeah.
Instead of, hey, let's fix this building that still only sits on its envelope of ground, you know. Because that's going to be the hardest sell to do any remodeling to that building or any upgrades to that building. If you can't park at it.
Right. No, that's absolutely right.
And right now, I think, is the time with the mill to strike while iron's hot, because, you know, as much as I'm cynical about the Bolton thing, it's not going to happen with the new regime in place right now. It's not going to happen.
Well, the mayor wants Sandy Carter and I to sit down with the mill executive and talk about the mill and their future there. City. I'm still looking forward to that. It hasn't happened yet, but I can use that as also an opportunity. As a
springboard off of that. Yeah. Because I really think that what you do and what the different organizations do to try to secure that property as organizations versus the city saying we're going to do this, you'd get a lot more
better
support.
See it.
The city needs a lot of support.
Or we could say we'll put a swimming pool on that property.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Worked really well up on top of that.
Yeah, that would work really well, too, didn't
it? All right, Darren, what else do you have on
your hand? All right, the last one was the chair of your board. You usually pick a new one every January. Is that how it's been going? Okay. Excellent. So based on who decides to reapply for another term, we'll broach that subject when we get to it. Okay.
Sounds good.
And that is all I had. Anything maybe?
As usual for the next year.
Yeah. Right.
Do you really want to move?
Are you moving out of West Lynn or?
No, I'll stay in West Lynn.
Okay. I guess that would determine your fate on the board if you moved out of West Lynn, right?
No.
Oh, no, you can still be.
I don't have the only board.
Oh, wow.
John doesn't live in West Lynn.
I believe.
Oh, I did not know that.
I believe there's a restriction in the code, however, about how many individuals on the board can be non-residents of West Lynn, and I don't know if it's two or three.
Yeah. I don't know when I'm moving or where I'm moving. I just know that my house is...
Because Thane was
an old historic house.
West Lynn address,
very
he lived
small.
Outside of the city also.
Oh, is that right?
He lived out off Red... that's where I live. Rosemont, towards the winery. He was outside of the city limits, but he was... Yeah. West Lynn address.
Yeah. Cool.
I think there's a limit, but
that a wrap? Can we adjourn this meeting and go home to our families? Excellent. Yeah. Meeting adjourned.
Right.
There's something going on upstairs.